This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. It is a Monday at 4 o'clock. The Joe Beningo Monday call-in with Evan and Tiki is brought to you by Approved Oil. Visit freezetherate.com. HL Gross Jewelers of Garden City. Total Orthopedics, the experts at getting you back to being you. And by Audie Manhattan, where luxury meets excellence. Joe, good afternoon. Happy New Year. What's up, man?
Happy New Year, gentlemen. What's up is I've had enough. Yesterday was the last straw.
Wow.
You cannot bring this guy back to coach again. I'm sorry. You know, I said you got to give him another year. You can't.
What happened yesterday, Joe?
What happened was non-competitive football. That was not an NFL defense that I was watching yesterday, T.
And I
understand the quarterback. Okay, Brady Cook's not an NFL quarterback. But this defense, that was a disgrace, bro. Six straight times with the ball. And look. This is, I know Drake May's very good. This is not the Tom Brady, a quarterback. Six straight times with the ball for a touchdown by the New England Patriots. Are you kidding me? Really? Enough.
Yeah.
This guy's a disaster.
I think getting a team motivated when you're at this point in the season is one of the hardest things for a coach to do. When you've only won a couple of games, everybody's down on you, and everybody hates you from a fan base standpoint, and you still got to get guys playing like they care. And while I don't want to agree with you because I want to believe in Aaron Glenn, they look like they didn't care. Man. This game could have been 65-3.
Oh, look, if Belichick was the coach, he would have put 60 on him. You know, Vrabel did him a favor by calling the dogs off. Here's the bottom line, Teak. 34-10 to the Dolphins. They were down 21-0 in midway through the first quarter. 48-20 to the Jaguars. I know they're a good team. Mm-hmm. Lawrence is having a great year. They made Lawrence look like John Elway. 29-6 to New Orleans. I know the game was close early. I know this kid Tyler Shuck looks like they got something with
right.
him. 29-6 to New Orleans. And yesterday... What? Come on, bro. That's the biggest point differential in December football in the history of the league,
yeah.
Bro. Come on. They haven't had an interception all year. They're going to go 17 games without an interception. How do I bring this guy back? You can't. You can't bring him back, Teak.
Well,
you can't.
I mean, they can't also fire him, though. So don't you see the position that the Jets are in?
But you know what? The position is the owner. Woody Johnson. You know what? Robert Kraft had no problem getting rid of Gerard Mayo. And I knew he had Mike Vrabel sitting right there.
Bingo.
You know, the Jaguars got rid of Urban Meyer after 1 year.
Yeah.
We've seen it before. Enough. What's going to happen?
And yeah, but who then wants the job, Joe? Like, if they fire, I mean, I know Robert Saleh was there for three-plus
By the
seasons.
Way, Robert Saleh looks like Tom Landry next to this guy.
I know.
All right? Let's be honest about it.
Right, right. But if Robert Saleh was there for a little bit, but it creates the cycle all over again. And now it becomes an unappealing job. Well, so what do you do?
But what happens when they start 1-7? Now, they're not going to get Mendoza. Mendoza's going to the Raiders.
Yeah.
The Raiders are clearly tanking. They tanked yesterday. They didn't play Crosby. They didn't play Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
Geno's hurt. There's no way they're winning that game against Kansas City.
Joe? You sure about that?
Yeah, I am. The Raiders don't want to win, bro. They don't want to win.
Come on! The Chiefs starting at third-string quarterback? You may have a bunch of guys in Kansas City that don't want to get hurt next week.
The Chiefs gave the Broncos all they wanted last week. Let's be honest about it. And
last week, the Raiders gave the Texans all they wanted. By the way, this is clearly me as a Giant fan wanting the number one pick. I'm just not convinced that the Raiders can't win the game.
Okay, all right, look. I'd rather see your team get the number one pick. The Raiders are not winning. I'm telling you right now. They're tanking. They're going to get Mendoza. We're going to have to pivot. I don't want my football team going out of their way just to draft a quarterback. I've been through this before. You know, they're going to have to go somewhere. If Dante Moore doesn't come out, if Dante Moore does and he's sitting there at three, right now I'm not expending any draft capital for a quarterback. I'm not doing it.
Joe, I actually think that's the right approach, and this is what does lean me in the direction of, man, maybe you do have to consider firing Aaron Glenn, because me and Tiki discussed this earlier. Aaron Glenn is not going to have the wiggle room in year two to kick the quarterback position down the road again. You know what I mean? Like,
no question.
They're going to have to go after, if that's Dante Moore, then they're going to have to make that selection, because if this team is 1-7 with no prospects at all of a quarterback, he's not surviving a year three anyway.
Well, he's not surviving half the year. And what's going to happen is they're going to dump him in the middle of the year. That's what Woody's going to do, okay? This guy is not the answer. Now, they're going to have to get a veteran quarterback in here, somebody. Malik Willis looked pretty good. I don't know what his deal is.
Yeah.
Somebody,
though. We talked about that earlier, Joe.
He is a free agent.
Matt, that would be the guy, you know, the stopgap
guy. And he's still
guy.
Young. He's very young still.
Right. But he could lead me into whoever that next quarterback's going to be. But you know what?
He could be the guy.
Well, maybe he is. You know what, Teak? Maybe he is. But let's not forget, and I would say this to all my Jet fan brethren, we are set up next year. We got three number one picks next year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not forget where we are with the draft capital that we have. And this team needs everything. I mean, that defense, they could get rid of every one of them I want out of there. McDonald, Jermaine Johnson, Quincy Williams, what's his name? The overrated middle linebacker. I can't even think of his name. Sherwood.
Yeah.
Get him out. I can't take it. Steven. The only guy I keep is the kid, the rookie, Malachi Moore. He looks like he might be something as a safety. Maybe the kid, AZ Thomas, he's been hurt. Whatever. Couple of the guys in the middle. Phillips, he's okay. Griggs, okay. These other guys stink.
Yeah.
Get them out. I can't take it anymore. That was the – you know what? And I'm going to make this statement too, okay? I've seen this team and watching this team every year. 1965, I started rooting for this team. One of the biggest mistakes I ever made. I would rank it number three overall. I won't tell you what the other two were, okay? Probably, well, I'll make it number two. The Mets are number three.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I won't say what number one is. You can figure it out.
I got you.
Okay. But whatever the deal is, this is the worst Jet team I've ever seen. This is worse than the 1-15 Kotai team. This is worse than Adam Gase's 2-win team in 2020. Remember that team, at least at the end of the year, everybody killed them.
Right.
They beat the Rams and the Browns in back-to-back weeks, two playoff teams. This team is shot. Why?
So it's worse because, one, they play like crap. But then, two, there's very few guys on this team that are part of the successful future. I mean, and Breece Hall might be the best player right now.
Clearly.
And they're probably not going to sign him.
They should sign him, though.
I know, of course they should, because he's a baller.
Right.
Like, he still can play despite everything being lost. And that big run for a touchdown that made it not fully embarrassing, even though it was embarrassing enough, just shows you he plays till the end. Mm-hmm. Now, he's still young.
And they haven't used him right all year.
Of course they haven't. I mean, and who knows what's going to happen, you know, with a new quarterback and a new situation here. But Breece Hall is the only player that I like on this team right now for the Jets.
Bro, I told you this too. They could have traded Garrett Wilson and got another number one, and I would have been okay with that. I really would have.
Wow, you're like in full strip down mode.
Oh, I've had it. I've had it. This is a disgrace, this franchise. Forget that they haven't won a Super Bowl since 1968. Forget even that. This team hasn't a winning season since 2015.
It's crazy.
Come on. How many years in a row have they lost 10 games? I'm sick and tired of the season being over by Halloween. It's unbelievable. This year, my birthday, September 26th, the season was over by the end this year. Okay? I am sick and tired of it. This guy is not the answer. He is clearly clueless. How about what he did yesterday? He comes out yesterday and says the team, you know what? He basically said they quit on him.
Yes.
And then he turns around today. And I guess Jamini texted this or whatever it was and said that he backtracked that now?
Yes, he said after watching the film, the effort was in fact there. Well, then you guys really suck.
Right, if that's effort, then that's not acceptable effort.
I just, you know what, bro? I just can't take it anymore. And you say, well, who's taking the job? Look, I don't know what the Giants are doing. They need a veteran coach, no doubt.
No doubt.
I love Mike McCarthy. The Jets should have hired him years ago when he wanted the job instead of hiring Adam Gase. You've mentioned Cliff Kingsbury. You know, the more I think about a guy like him, he's not bad. He is a head coach.
But you're going to need a quarterback, in a specific quarterback, maybe like Malik Willis,
right.
Interestingly enough.
So there it is. So to me, that's the play. You go after Malik Willis. If you're not happy with any of these quarterbacks, you don't draft them. I told you I'd take a flyer on Pavia in the third or fourth round.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even look at Shedeur Sanders, what's happening. Now, I don't know if he's going to be the guy, but he's 2-4 as a starter for the Browns. Okay,
so he looks competent.
He does. Maybe they lucked into him. You know, you talk about a guy playing with a massive chip on his shoulder. That's him.
No, he's got a lot to prove.
Now, Joe, take us inside your house yesterday when the second fake punt gets run by Aaron Glenn.
Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it.
No, that was the...
Here's what I said to
Joe,
myself.
Just real quick.
Just go for it.
You know what I said, Joe? I mean, I said that was his Joe Judge moment. Because that was pathetic.
Right. Pathetic. I mean, you hit the first one. You got lucky to hit the first one.
Right. Because the guy didn't even get out on the route.
Right.
You got a punter pump faking.
Right. Bro, Patek. Just run a play. What was it, 4th-and-3? Just go for it.
Right.
You got to try and fake. Who was fooling anybody? Oh, my God. You know what? I'm beside myself. I just can't. I'm disgusted. I can't take it anymore.
What are the chances, Joe, that the Jets are actually tanking?
Well, I think
really trying to lose.
Well, look, the fact that they're playing Brady Cook at quarterback, I mean, let's be honest.
That's what I mean.
Well, he's not a professional quarterback by any means. But you know what, though? The defense is worse. The offense is bad. The defense is worse, Tiki.
Yeah, no, you're right.
They look like they're not even attempting to tackle guys. That first drive of the game, really? And guys are wide open all over the place. We've seen it for weeks.
Diggs had like 8 yards between him and any other guy recovering him yesterday. It was insane.
Unbelievable. Right, no question about it. I mean, come on. And this guy's supposed to be a defensive coach? Let me tell you right now. You think Rex Ryan, okay, you say whatever you want about Rex. You know I love him. Do you think Rex Ryan's defenses would ever look like that yesterday?
Joe.
What?
I talked about this in the open, and this is, I think, a big-time indictment on Aaron Glenn. You could talk about all the backups they're playing, this, that, and the other thing. There are teams that are dead and buried that would be easy to pack it in. The Saints are playing their ass off. The Titans just saw a play hard.
No question about it.
The freaking Dolphins beating the Bucs yesterday.
Yeah, The Browns beat Pittsburgh.
Come on. Right. Even the Vikings on Christmas Day rubbing the Lions' nose in it. The point is you have these teams across the league that have every reason to bail and give up right now, and it seems like it's only the Jets, besides the Raiders, who look like they have no interest in tackling. Yeah, I mean, at least they played hard versus another bad team.
They kicked their ass. You know what? The Giants kicked their ass yesterday. They wanted to win that game.
You know what? When you're playing a bad team, that's what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
Kick their ass. Here's what the Patriots did, for those that just saw the score. 61-yard drive, touchdown. 85-yard drive, touchdown. 66-yard drive, touchdown. 74-yard drive, touchdown. 91-yard drive, touchdown. And then came back after halftime, 47-yard drive, touchdown. And then they kind of called off the dogs.
Yep.
I mean, that was 6 straight drives, by the way.
With touchdowns. It wasn't even like they were kicking field goals. The one field goal they missed, it doinked on the upright.
Yeah, but that was in the second half when the game was long concluded. Right.
God.
And Vrabel laughing the whole time, Joe. Laughing.
But you know what, though? Vrabel called the dogs off. Belichick would have kept going.
No, you're
Belichick would have put 60 on him in this game. There's no doubt in my mind. Certainly 50.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it in my mind.
All right, Joe, I know you're obviously a big college football guy. Mm. Tiki and I are ourselves as well. We got the big playoff coming this week. We're not going to talk to you
before then.
What game are you most pumped up for?
I'm most pumped up for Friday night. I keep thinking it's Friday. It's actually Wednesday night.
Wednesday is like Friday because it's New Year's Eve.
Right. Miami, the U against Ohio State. I mean, I am very pumped up to see where Miami is now. You know, I always liked Miami in the old days when they were winning. Uh-huh. You know, all the great players, Ray Lewis, Michael Irvin, Vinny Testaverde, Ed Reed, Jonathan Vilma. We go right on down the line. Quentin Porter, Santana Moss. I go down the line with all the guys from the U. I've always liked them. I would love to see them. They're an underdog, and they should be going in and just sticking it to the Buckeyes.
Right, they got a bunch of players that are going to be draft picks in the first, second round of this year.
They got a very good defense, team.
Yeah, defense with Reuben Bain and what's the edge? Akeem Mesidor, the other edge.
Carson Beck could play. You know, he was disrespected last year, Georgia, the whole thing. Yeah. I think they're a very live dog, very live dog. What do you think? What do you think about Mendoza, Simpson, Rose Bowl?
Oh, man, that's going to be great, you know, really. Indiana, it looks like the team to beat. I mean, who would ever think that Indiana football, okay, All right, a basketball school to the nth degree.
Right.
Who would ever think that Indiana would be where they are now? I think that's a great matchup. You know, we'll see about Simpson in this game. Alabama, the problem with Alabama, they can't run the ball. They don't have a running game, which
is
very un-Alabama-like. Their defense is okay, and they, if you get pressure on Simpson, you're going to beat them. I mean, that's I think Indiana wins that game. Watch out for Texas Tech. Okay,
they've had a great year.
They had
good defense too. Everybody thinks of the offense with
big
Texas
time
Tech.
Defense, big time, no doubt about it. Watch out for them against Oregon, and then you know, look, it's a rematch between Georgia and Ole Miss, and there's no Lane Kiffin, you know, and look, Georgia had to come back in the fourth quarter to win that game between the hedges in Athens earlier in the year. These four games are phenomenal. I mean, I can't say enough about how good these matchups are.
We're just telling Tiki, too, something we've all forgot about, too. You get the Rose Bowl starts an hour earlier this
year.
4 o'clock. 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Tired of the Sugar Bowl starting at 9 o'clock tonight on New Year's Day night.
Oh, I know that. And 12 o'clock for the Texas Tech game. And I even get to watch New Year's Eve. I can watch my guy in the afternoon, Diego Pavia. I'm interested. He's going up against Iowa, who is no easy game. You know, Kirk Ferentz always has a pretty good team there.
Yeah, he does.
You know, and they play solid defense, low-scoring games. So I'm interested about seeing Pavia go up against them. So, you know, just some great games. I mean, there's no question about it.
All right, Joe, if we had to ask you right now before we let you go. Wide-open league with the Chiefs out. Our teams suck, obviously. Where do you think the Super Bowl is at right now?
Well, I think if it's ever going to happen, I just think, look, I can't say that because as long as Josh Allen's there, watch out for the Bills. I mean, look, certainly the Patriots, certainly Denver. Odds are that the Broncos are probably going to get the home field. I guess the Chargers could beat them, but their offensive line is so banged up. You know, I mean, the Texans just assaulted him on Saturday. I'm telling you, let me tell you something, too. Watch out for Houston. They got a great defense. They got a great pass rush. I don't know about the quarterback 100% with Stroud, but I just got a feeling about the Bills. There's something.
Interesting.
You know, it's kind of like the pressure is off them a little bit because they're coming from a wild card. They're going to have to do it on the road. But watch out for Buffalo. As far as the NFC is concerned, you know, if the Niners win Sunday.
Oh, they are peaking at the right time here. They're unbelievable.
Bro, they got the home field. If they win this game, they got the home field, including the Super Bowl in their home field. That was a great game last night. I mean, how about the Bears? I mean, I know they lost, but oh, my God. I mean, all of a sudden, the Chicago Bears are putting 38 points on them.
Right. They're talking about worst to first. Same quarterback.
Imagine hiring the right head coach. That's nice.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Liam Cohen.
In Jacksonville,
Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm sick, bro.
Even Kellen Moore is doing a heck of a job.
They got it. Let me tell you, man, they won four in a row. That quarterback, I didn't realize he's like 26 years old. Did you know that?
That's why he fell. That's why he was a second round pick, Joe. Is because he's old, right? He's gonna by his second contract, he's gonna be 30. So it's just one of those things. It doesn't make ideal sense, but. When you don't have any other options, you go with what you think is a good pick, and he turned out to be a pretty good player. The problem, you just get the most out of him. That's all you do. Don't even think about, is he our future franchise, whatever. Who cares? Just get the most out of him while you can, especially for a first-time head coach.
Who's the best defensive player? The kid from Ohio State, the hybrid, the old Jack Tatum-type player, that guy?
Arvel Reese.
Is that the guy?
Yeah.
Is that the guy that plays like safety?
Oh, that's
linebacker,
Caleb Downs. Caleb Downs plays safety. Right. Everybody loves
Caleb Downs. That's the guy.
Yeah, he's big. He's 6'2", 215 or something like that. You know, but that's like Urlacher. Urlacher was that size, and then he ended up getting up to like 250 playing
he's
linebacker.
He's in the Hall of Fame now, Urlacher.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, I, like I said, I just can't see how you bringing Glenn back. I think it's a monster mistake by Woody Johnson. You know, it's time that Woody, did you enjoy what you saw there yesterday with all the freaking Patriot fans there? They're booing our team in our own stadium. It's really the Giants stadium, but be that as it may. They're booing our team there. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah,
I can't take it anymore, guys. I really can't.
And Joe, this is how it all ends Sunday. A reminder, this is the closing of the Bills stadium up there in Orchard Park.
Oh, they're going to kill him.
Is that a 35-point spread at that point?
Bills, you know, I doubt Allen is playing. I wouldn't play Josh Allen Sunday.
They still technically could win for seeding, though, can't they?
Win what?
I don't think it matters.
It's not going to matter. It's a matter whether you're the 5, the 6. I think that's where they bunched up with the Chargers.
Right now, what are they right now? Is the last seed in the playoffs? Aren't they 7 right now?
7, and I think they could jump up to 6, but does the team care about that? But you're avoiding
the Patriots.
They
may very well be playing the Patriots again in the first round.
Yeah, that could be the Saturday night game up in New England. Mm-hmm.
That very well could happen. Maybe if Denver drops, they'll get Denver. The only team I'd really worry about if I was them the most is Houston, because their defense is just unbelievable. Right. I mean, you can't say enough about how good those two guys, Anderson and Hunter, they're monsters coming off the edge.
Yeah, so. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson. Yeah, right.
But now you ask me who I think is winning the Super Bowl, my money's on the Rams. I'm still on the Rams.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with it.
It's a good one.
All right, well, Joe. You
happy
Terry,
New Year, Joe.
Happy New Year, man. Enjoy all the playoff games this week.
Guy, happy New Year. Guys, happy New Year indeed. God bless America. God bless everybody. All the love. All right, now, what are we doing? Are we still doing this next? So you guys are going to be in the afternoon, I mean, in 10 o'clock next week, right?
Yeah, we will be at 10 o'clock. So that would probably be a good question for thericob@gmail.com for Evan Roberts.
Okay.
Call us at like 11.
Yeah, we'll figure out the time.
Or 10 o'clock.
Call us at 11.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Hey, I'll tell you. Yeah, let me put it this way. If Glenn does, that'll be Black Monday. If Glenn does get fired, you got to have me on.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, Joe, we're definitely having you on. So
just a matter of timing. We'll figure out the time, Joe. Don't worry.
I appreciate it. Yeah, enjoy all the football, guys. God bless.
Be good, brother.
The great Joe Peningo in his weekly spot. So that's it. So full disclosure, peel back the curtain. Evan Roberts texted Tiki, myself, and Tommy today. Are you guys having Joe on? I got to hear if he's turned on Aaron Glenn. He was like the most rabid like listener. So Evan got what he wanted. Joe B has turned on Aaron Glenn. He's ready for him to be fired. Now, Aaron Glenn goes and beats the Bills.
That was quick.
Yeah, exactly. You beat the Bills in week 18, Joe will be back in on Aaron Glenn. That's usually how it works with Joe.
Glenn is a weird guy.
But yes, I had to know with the fake punts what that was. Could you imagine Joe sitting
That was in? Just, again, that was a Joe Judge moment for me. Because it just
the quarterback
felt,
draw, basically, right?
Yeah, it just felt inept.
Yeah. Yeah,
like you got away with it with your punter pump faking and finding the up back who got delayed getting out and contested catch by a yard. Mm-hmm. Not like you made it by 10 yards. You barely got it. Then they got the fourth down again before I could like go get a drink of water.
That's a tiki.
Wow, you got inspiration. You just converted a surprise fourth down. It felt like 10 seconds later, it was fourth down again.
I can't believe you said that. Because yesterday, you texted in our group. I saw the fake punt.
Uh-huh.
I got up, went to the restroom, which is 5 feet behind my little like man cave area. I came out. I saw your text. You're like, oh, that's his Joe Judge moment. I was like, the fake punt? You're like, the other one. I'm like, the other one. I had to immediately take my remote and rewind. And I'm like, are you serious? I couldn't believe in that moment he fake punt. It was within like a minute and a half.
I'm telling you, it was the fastest drive I've ever seen.
It was insane. But that was Aaron Glenn's Jets yesterday. All right, we come back. We will continue to take your calls, plus look at that playoff picture and the Week 18 schedule that's been laid out, plus some interesting John Heyman stuff on the future of Tariq Skubal. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
As far as the Aaron Glenn thing, how upset I was with the way that he was handling this season in the beginning, and he looked like he was in over his head, and I talked about the one and done, and then Florio comes in with the one and done. But I just don't know. I don't think that he's going to be a great head coach. I hated the hire. But I don't know how you can properly judge the man when you gave him nothing at the end of this season. There aren't any players on this team at all.
Right. Well, people listening to this show know that obviously he and I were teammates for 2 years.
Yeah.
And I have nothing but great, fond memories of playing football with him as a teammate. I congratulated him when he took the job, sent him a text. And I haven't spoken to him since.
Yeah.
It wasn't like we were close teammates. I mean, we're completely opposite. I was older. He was younger. He was a defense. I was offense. And, you know, we would, you know, obviously, you know, had a good relationship. But, you know, it's so long ago. It's hard to even remember back then. But so I always want to try to be as honest with our listening audience as I possibly can about the way I feel about things. I'm just telling you, he is not going to get fired. He's just not going to get fired. Woody Johnson is not going to fire him. And I don't care what you say as a fan. I don't. You can call me up and you can give me all the reasons why he should be fired. And I can't argue with those because I've heard them for 10 days on this radio station. So, and fans are passionate. And that's sometimes how I feel about the teams that I'm really passionate about. And, you know, for, I don't know, 25 years, I think the Knicks took the Nick passion out of me because of the front office decisions that they had made. And I can understand if you are a Jet or a Giant fan and you have gone through a decade of just futility and just one coach and one GM, one this, one that. I mean, from quarterbacks to GMs to coaches, it's been crazy. It's been anything but stable. And here's why I don't believe that Woody Johnson will fire Aaron Glenn. Number one, he's got a 5-year contract. So that means they'd have to fire him and pay him for 4 more years. And he's not going to do that. He may do it for 3 more years if things don't turn around next year. He may do it next year. But he's not going to do it this year and then pay another coach on top of it. So forget that. All right. I just think that's the reality of it. Number two, in the middle of the season, Darren Mooji, I'm sure, along with Woody Johnson and all the scouts and the coach, the head coach in this case, Aaron Glenn, probably sat down and said, look, we're not going anywhere this year. Justin Fields has been an absolute disaster, and we can get assets moving forward, and we're going to make trades. And they traded two of their best defensive players, or at least in reputation, two of their best defensive players, and they got a haul back for both of them. So essentially, they are also telling him, by the way, you know, Justin Fields can't play anymore. You know, he's hurt, and Tyrod Taylor can play, but we're not really trying to win. You know, they're doing a great job of tanking, kind of like the Raiders are. Oh, maybe, you know, and they're not going to say that's what they're doing, but they're playing Brady Cook. It's a nice kid, a nice college career, but you know what? They're not. The guys are playing to win. The overall organizational, I think, thought process is let's get through this year. We now know where the potholes are, what we have to do to fill them with the amount of money we're going to have to be able to spend in free agency and with this draft haul that we have. So they're not firing him. You know, maybe he'll soften his stance a little bit here in the offseason with the media and not be as you know, intense. Well, they're just not going to fire him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the other side of it, is that you hope that he has learned something throughout this year and he's going to be a better coach next year, because you're not going to get someone with experience to come in and take this job who is coveted by other teams as a head coach. It's just not going to happen. This is one of the worst jobs in the NFL. It becomes a better job if they get the number one overall pick, but things are going to have to shake out their way trade-wise. They're going to have to go up and get it. But, I mean, I think that it's like you can't really, because if it ends up being the Raiders, they're going to take Mendoza. A quarterback. They're going to need Mendoza. The Giants. They're going to need the Giants to be able to get up there and then trade with them. So that's the only way that they can get it. And becomes a little bit more of an attractive job, but nobody wants this job. So you're going to have to go out and get another guy who's not really getting a lot of offers, who was a coordinator, who's going to jump on the opportunity to get a bunch of money in a big contract. I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'd rather have Aaron Glenn than that person, whoever that is, because you're not going to get someone who knows how to run a program, especially after firing this guy after a year. They look like even more of a mess if they do that.
They have, out of the 32 teams, they're either 30, 31st, or 32nd with their quarterback situation. All right, let's be real. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look at all the teams that are going to the playoffs right now. Mm-hmm. Everybody that has made it to the playoffs, they all have their starting quarterback, essentially. And, you know, it's you know, maybe Bryce Young is probably the weakest out of the remaining quarterbacks that are left if they make it, which is really one of the weird things. They can lose to Tampa Bay, but if Atlanta beats the Saints, then Carolina is going anyway, and they're going to go with a losing record. But, you know, when you think about where the Jets are at that position, which is 1,000 miles away from the playoffs right now, and that's got to be the first question that's going to be answered. And here's the thing I'm going to say. If they decide to take Dante Moore, if that young man comes out of school and he's sitting there at number three, or they trade with the Giants at number two because somebody else wanted Dante Moore, whatever the situation may be. I first of all, my thing about Dante Moore is I wish he'd stay in college. I wish he'd play another year at Oregon, give it another go. We'll see what happens this year. Maybe they win the national championship. Maybe he decides, you know, because I played so well in the playoff, that I'll come out and I'll be a part of the draft. Because this year, he's going to be the second quarterback taken, no question. And he is a really good player. I don't know him personally, but all I can say is that he's only played like 21 college games. Hasn't really played a lot of college games. Now, he's playing big games, and he's in the Big Ten, and he's playing against really good competition. And you could see the athleticism. But I want to see a guy that, you know, is really more comfortable in the pocket, that is feels a little bit better about, you know, reading defenses and plays more high-level football. And he's got a great coach in Dan Lanning to teach him that.
Yeah, it's going to be similar to the situation that they had when they ended up taking Zach Wilson.
Right, but here's the deal. This kid does not – he can't start for the Jets next year.
No, of course not. I mean, I the only one I think really could, obviously, is Fernando Mendoza, not just because he's the best quarterback coming out, but just the experience, the age, and the attitude, and all that stuff. But this is why it's going to be very similar to them drafting Zach Wilson. They were really, really bad that year. One of the worst teams in franchise history. Same thing this year. They had the number two overall pick, not the number one overall pick. And there was a guy that was a consensus number one overall pick. It was Trevor Lawrence that year. It's Fernando Mendoza this year. Will Darren Mooji end up falling in love with another guy because he has to take a quarterback this year in order to start their plan? And is that guy actually going to be the guy? Are they just reaching because they need to do it? And can they afford to wait out another year to find that quarterback?
That's the problem, because if next year looks like this year, then he's definitely going to be gone. And will Woody Johnson fire him in the middle of the season like he did Rob Saleh? I hope that's not the case. I hope that it's more the Lions' track of turning things around in the second year and doing exactly what Dan Campbell did. But what they had is they had a Super Bowl quarterback in Jared Goff. They had that. So he had Ben Johnson as an offense coordinator. So they could figure that out together. You know what I mean? Like the offense could handle the offense, and they just had to get the right draft picks in there. They had to get the right free agents in there, and they built the team. Now, the team's not going to go to the playoffs this year. It's unfortunate because of all the injuries that they suffered, and plus they had a very tough strength of schedule, and who thought that Chicago was going to be as good as they were under Ben Johnson? But, you know, things happen from year to year in the NFL, so you can turn it around. But, I mean, you got to be realistic about it if you are the Jets. I mean, this is a throwaway year. Let's be realistic. Well, I mean, it is.
Yeah, I mean, and Aaron Glenn said that many times, and I laughed at it because it felt like he was qualifying every single statement with, no one thought we were going to the playoffs, no one thought we were going to the playoffs. We understand that, but you also don't have to be as embarrassing as you are. But it almost felt like they all, and Aaron Glenn included, along with Woody Johnson, Darren Mooji, and everybody, at one point, we're just like, okay, the wins and losses thing doesn't matter. Woody Johnson might have even said something along the lines of, I got your guys back. We're ripping this thing down to the studs. Yeah,
he may have internally. That may be exactly what was said.
And let's go with this draft and going forward. And if they can't, this is where the general manager either keeps his job, becomes someone who is there for a decade or not, is making that decision or not making that decision with the quarterback. Now, they blew it the first time around with their stopgap guy in Justin Fields, who was could not have been worse. I mean, you had a couple of games sprinkled in there where you look like you can play football, but as far as signing a guy for what they did to come in and start this year, it was a horrible decision. So if they don't get that quarterback this year in the draft, they have to find a competent replacement who understands he's not going to be there for the rest of time. Because the best way to really do it, if you don't like Dante Moore, if you have to love this guy. You got to love this guy like Brian Daboll loved Jackson Dart. You got to love the guy like we heard Kyle Shanahan loved Mac Jones. Things like that. And if you don't, then you're going to have to pass and then find somebody
okay
of a veteran status to come in and then try again the next year or try a trade or whatever it may be, but don't just take a guy because you feel like you got to take a guy, and then all of a sudden, like you're talking about, 21 games played for Dante Moore. I mean, I understand he's playing bigger games than Zach Wilson did,
yeah,
but for crying out loud, it feels like the same exact thing of a guy who's got inexperience, who's got all the physical talents, but then gets spit into this situation
exactly.
In New York, he can't handle it.
And how many times have we said that it all depends on where you're drafted as to whether or not you are going to be successful, who your coaches are. I was really fortunate enough, even though I fell in the draft, and which was really disappointing and disheartening and embarrassing for me, I fell in the lap of Sam Weish and Bruce Coslett. And when they were there at Cincinnati with Jim McNally and Jimmy Anderson and Tiger Johnson as our offensive staff, that was it, five coaches. Those guys were amazing. And I was fortunate enough to have Kenny Anderson in front of me teaching me how to become a professional football player. And that's what got me to where I was. I mean, like, if I would have went somewhere else and it wouldn't have been that kind of offense, wouldn't have been the West Coast offense, wouldn't have been Sam Weish as an ex-quarterback himself who was coaching Joe Montana, I don't know what would have happened to me.
Yeah, this is going to sound like a suck-up spot, but it's not. It's just the truth. So during this vacation, I had a lot of time to watch stuff. So I did go and find the Peyton's Places with you and Peyton Manning. And it was just tremendous.
It was awesome.
It was so good that I rewatched it back, and I brought Sabrina and Gina in to watch it because I wanted to show them. Because, I mean, they obviously know you and your career, but I don't, like, that was just encapsulated so well into how you guys were at the top of your game, and they talked about the Super Bowl season and obviously your MVP season. It was so cool to have the two of you guys sitting there talking about your career at that time. I thought it was as well done as anything I'd seen you in, other than Second Wind, obviously.
Well, which I appreciate the greatest thing ever. It was like 40 years ago.
Yeah.
It's like a whole nother lifetime.
But still, it was real. I don't know. Did you guys, I'm putting them on the spot, probably didn't see it, but did you guys see that yet? The Peyton Places thing? You gotta watch it. It took me forever to find it, by the way. They got to do a better job of making that available somewhere. I couldn't.
It's like ESPN Plus or
ESPN. Yeah, but the thing is, they had it like labeled. It didn't have, like, you're a huge part of this episode, but your name's nowhere on the episode.
Well, they probably did that on purpose. Maybe they don't like
it. I mean, so
ESPN,
like, I had to go through it and find it, and then it was the one that actually had Joe Burrow in it as well, and I was able to find it. But
it was Joe Namath. I think it was you know, this is where Peyton and I told you, we go to Joe Namath's old place.
Right, it's about guys calling their own plays.
Yes,
really,
is
the whole the genesis behind it. But it was
let's just talk about quarterbacks that may be available free agency wise for the Jets. You know, just like Justin Fields was when they signed. Remember when they signed Justin Fields? Everybody said, "Wow, this is a good signing." This is, you know,
Phil loved it, actually.
Yeah, not me. I'm not a fan, and never have been a fan. And you know, even in Chicago when I used to, you know, calling to WGN, I used to say, like, how he just struggles, just, and I don't know what it is, and there's always offsides, there's always holding, there's low completion percentages. Yeah, he can run, he can make plays, but, you know, he's not a guy that's going to, you know, elevate everybody around him, which is what they really needed here, and somebody that everybody could believe in. I think that's what they had with Aaron Rodgers when he came in. You know, his personality was so big that, you know, unfortunately he gets hurt. If he doesn't get hurt, the whole thing's going to be different, and then ultimately people end up losing jobs. But here's a couple guys that maybe would be the guy that you're talking about that would be the right guy to run the team, and that would be somebody like a Marcus Mariota or Jimmy Garoppolo, if he could stay healthy. I mean, the list is very short, and whoever you're bringing in here has to know that they are the stopgap guy that, you know, is going to teach how a young player needs to be a professional. So maybe you get six games into the season, and then do what the Giants did. That's when you put Jackson Dart in. After he sit there and he's watched, and he's seen exactly what the game looks like. He's listening to the plays on the sideline. He's trying to mentally take himself through it. And then when he gets out on the field, he's not overwhelmed. Like, both Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, and I would also say Mark Sanchez, too. All three of those quarterbacks were high draft picks for the Jets, and they ruined all three of them.
Yeah, I would say Gardner Minshew would be another one of those guys, as he's going to be a free agent where I feel like he's not going to be affected by anything, and he's played a ton of games now in the NFL. He would be someone, too, I would consider. But, you know, Darren Mooji has, you know, he has done an amazing job setting himself up. But if he gets that quarterback wrong, it doesn't matter. As evidenced by Joe Douglas's tenure here, Joe Douglas did a lot of great things, drafted a lot of great players. I mean, I understand that Sauce went down, but still, in the same draft, drafted the offensive and defensive rookies of the year.
And by the way, the Jets wanted him to draft a second wide receiver with that second first-round pick.
Oh, wow.
No, they wanted – Sauce went first, right?
Yeah.
They want ownership wanted two wide receivers.
Oh, okay. So, interesting. And he ended up doing the right thing. So, he made a lot of big-time decisions and great draft picks. But, you know, Zach Wilson is Zach Wilson, and that's the grenade that's going to blow up at some point when you don't get that position right.
Yeah, right. You know, guys like Mitch Trubisky would be available. I mean, it's going to be a very, very unique kind of offseason for the Jets because Malik Willis, I mean, I love him for the Packers. I want him to stay there with the Packers. I want him to be the insurance policy that is to Jordan Love because Jordan Love seems to get hurt a lot. You know, yeah. I mean, Daniel Jones is going to be a free agent, but he's probably not going to be ready to be playing until mid-October. And who knows if Indianapolis, I would think that Indianapolis would try to keep him, you know, at a discounted rate. But, I mean, I wouldn't trust that either just simply because of the injury history.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Al Iannazone covers the Jets for Newsday. It's been a long year, no doubt, Al. Good to talk to you. Happy New Year to you and your family. Appreciate the time this afternoon, Al.
Happy New Year, Mark. Great to talk to you.
Al, what do you like with Glenn here? You know, and all the reports are he's going to get a second year. What leads you to believe that it's going to look different year number two?
Well, you would hope they'd have better players, right? I understand the clamoring for him to not return. It has been a terrible year, but I think this is by design at a certain point. I mean, you get rid of Sauce Gardner, you get rid of Quinn and Williams, you're starting an undrafted rookie quarterback who really has not shown much. He's got one touchdown and eight interceptions. You know, I feel bad for Brady Cook that he's in this position where he doesn't even have the Jets' best skill players out there. No Garrett Wilson, Mason Taylor not playing. I mean, he still has Breece Hall. There's just a lot of issues with this team that it's not going to be fixed overnight. You know, they have to get the draft right. They have to get the quarterback right. And that might not be enough. We don't know that Aaron Glenn is the right coach for this team. He hasn't proven himself. It hasn't been good from the beginning. But I find it hard to foresee, you know, Woody giving up on him so quickly after this was basically his hire and everything they went through last year with the 33rd team and how many people they interviewed and brought in. I don't see him saying, okay, I was wrong, and I'm going to pay this guy the rest of his contract and then pay somebody else.
Al, if I ask you, you know, or if Glenn did a little self-evaluation in the offseason, where do you think he needs to improve? He's coming back, right? So Woody doesn't want to admit the failure. Where do you think Glenn needs to improve?
I think a lot of areas. I think, you know, first of all, his coaching staff, he has to improve that. But from him, I think he needs to show a little humility. I mean, there was a lot of arrogance when he got here, which every coach is going to be like that. They're going to be, you know, bravado and all this other stuff. And, you know, we could change Justin Fields and make him a better quarterback. They failed miserably in that respect. And that's, you know, not just Glenn, that's the entire offensive staff. So that's why I think you got to look at the staff first and foremost on both sides of the ball. No interceptions is ridiculous. And that is also an indictment of Glenn because he's a defensive coach. He's a former cornerback. I think he's got to see that he doesn't have all the answers. You know, I know all these guys, like I said, they come in and they say, look what I went through in Detroit. Look what I went through in New Orleans. We turned those teams around. Here was the biggest thing. Both of those teams had quarterbacks. It really starts there. But there was no excuse for the way the defense played this year. I mean, that was, to me, the biggest biggest disappointment and indictment of Glenn as a coach, because this defense has been terrible, and they did return 8 or 9 starters from Robert Saleh's team, so they should have been much better.
Yeah, and that's the other issue. They've turned this into a rebuild. I get it, with Muji and Glenn, and, you know, give themselves a little bit more time. They've got to figure out the quarterback room, which was a disaster this year. But it's not like he took, and I get the Lions comparison, but to an extent, but it's not like he took over a roster that was barren of talent.
No, and that's why I think most of us thought they would be better this season. I know Vegas had them with 4.5 or 5.5 wins. I did take the over. I thought they would win a few more games earlier in the year. But, you know, you get off to an 0-7 start, and they were doomed to fail from the beginning because of the whole Justin Fields experiment. I thought he would be better. I think everybody thought he would be better. I mean, again, I look at what this franchise has done over the last 15 years of losing, but particularly over the last 6 years, 5 times they've had their quarterback, their starting quarterback, not throw at least 10 touchdown passes. That is crazy in today's NFL when you see guys putting up 35, 40 touchdown passes, 45 touchdown passes. Justin Fields is going to lead the Jets with 7. You know, a couple years ago, it was Zach Wilson leading the Jets with 6. Like, this is constantly an issue that they don't have good quarterback play. But, yeah, they had better talent than we saw. The defense, again, I go back to that. They're letting up 30 points a game. Lately, it's more than that. It's just been terrible. And the fact that they have no picks, they're the first team with no picks in a season, that's unbelievable.
We're talking to Al Iannuzzo, covers the Jets for Newsday. Jets close out the season late game, 4:25 kick up in Buffalo against the Bills on Sunday. Obviously, sitting here, season long over. They're 3-13 on the year. Al, you're around this team on a day-in, day-out basis. Does Glenn still have the ear of these guys?
Yeah, I think so, because a lot of these guys are not going to be back. You know, you got to remember, he's got to start putting his fingerprints on the team, him and Muji. And I think you saw a little as the year went on. I mean, they're going to point to guys like Juwan Briggs, who they brought in, and he had a good season. Isaiah Williams, who, you know, again, another indictment. He's been a great player for them this season. They cut him, and then he comes back, and as a returner, he does all this wonderful things. He was the team MVP. When do you see a returner as a team MVP? So I think there are a lot of guys who are coming back who, you know, respect him and everything like that, but I think he's got to bring in some of his own guys. Like, there weren't a lot of guys, you know, Saleh, when he got here, he brought some former 49er guys on both sides of the ball. You know, there weren't a lot of former Lions here, which was kind of surprising. I think he's got to bring some of his guys if he really wants to build the culture the way he wants it. You know, a name I keep bringing up is Alex Anzalone, Lions linebacker. I don't think Quincy Williams is going to be back. That's someone I could see the Jets going after. He was with Glenn in New Orleans, and then he was with Glenn in Detroit, and he's going to be free agent, this offseason. So I think they still have his ear. He still has their ear. They know he's going to be here. That's the biggest thing. They know he's going to be here. But if the Jets start badly next year with a new quarterback and new players and all this other stuff, then, you know, again, his job will be a major topic.
Al, when you and I had fun with it earlier in the week, Al, and you were out there on Sunday, I guess, why question the effort of the team and then walk it back on Monday if you're Aaron Glenn?
Yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all. You know, I had no problem with him, what he said after the game. Look, us as writers, media members, we want them to be honest. And the effort was a problem. What he couldn't say is the talent level was a problem. You know, the Patriots are right now in a different level than the Jets. Obviously, they could be the number one seed. They probably have the NFL MVP this year in Drake May. But it was humiliating the way they carved up the Jets. And I don't think he should have walked it back. And I think he made it worse, but I think it was by design to turn it on to him and his coaching staff when he said they did some things schematically that were challenging for us. Well, you know, he's basically telling everybody we were outcoached. You know, and they were. We didn't need to be told that. We saw it. They were outcoached. They were outclassed. They were outmanned. They were, you know, I know it's not a word. They were out-efforted. I don't think he should have gone back, but, you know, maybe he felt like I shouldn't be killing the players, you know, who are trying at the end of the season, because most of the, a lot of the guys who are playing, not on, not necessarily on defense, but some of the guys who are playing on defense and a lot of the guys on offense were not with the team earlier in the year, or were practice squad guys. So, you know, this is just the lack of competitive fire is the biggest indictment. But I didn't like that he went back and changed what he said.
Al, that we all know the quarterback, most important position in the national, in all really professional sports, can change everything. Do you think right now as it stands, and we'll see exactly what this quarterback class looks like, we'll see after this weekend where the Jets stand in terms of where their draft choice is, who's in front of them, and potential to go out there and move up. Do you think if they had their druthers, Muji and Glenn, they're bringing in a bridge quarterback, or do you think they'd be all in on bringing in a college quarterback this this upcoming NFL draft high in the first round?
Yeah, I think you do both. I think you try to. I thought they should have drafted a quarterback last year at some point, but I think you know, they could finish one, two, or three. It's highly unlikely they're going to finish one. You know, do you throw a lot at the Raiders with all these picks that the Jets accumulated if Fernando Mendoza is their guy? Yeah, if they truly believe it, you have to do it. There's that, you know, that's got to be their internal discussions and what they decide. But I think they do need a bridge quarterback because you don't know who's going to be ready to play. And it's also playing here where all eyes, it's tough. Not everybody, we know this, Mark. Not everybody is made for New York. Not everybody's made for the pressures they face. I don't know if Mendoza is. I don't know if Moore is. You know, we don't know, like you said, who's coming out. So I would definitely look at some bridge quarterbacks. And, you know, if you have to trade for one, you trade for one. You have to sign one, you sign one. It didn't work out with Justin Fields. I think he would, to me, he was going to be the bridge quarterback, that low risk, high reward, you know, see how he does, then draft the quarterback. And if he can produce the way Glenn thought he would, then he's got his quarterback in Justin Fields. Just didn't work out. But I think you got to have a good veteran, good couple veterans on staff, I mean, in the quarterback room, because this is a team that needs a lot of help at a lot of positions, but you got to treat this quarterback right. Not what they did with Zach Wilson. You know, they had nobody in that quarterback room when he got here, and he basically got the job, you know, as soon as they took him second overall. And that no competition, nothing like that. You can't make those mistakes again.
Al, if this was not Woody's handpicked guy after going through all that process, right, what we talked about with Glenn before, where he's got the emotional investment in Aaron Glenn, former player, obviously, and Glenn wanted the opportunity, wanted the challenge, wanted the job. Would we be having a different conversation about Glenn's future here in New York?
We might, but again, we're talking over $45 million that he's owed, and anybody who comes in is going to want at least that because of the team that they're taking over. You know, I know people want to say, well, if Tomlin or Harbaugh become available, you know, the Jets should go after. Of course they should. But why would they want to leave stable franchises that win every year to come here when they don't have a quarterback? You know, so I think he has to look if that presents itself. But I don't think that's a realistic option at this point, because there'll be other jobs that might be more appealing, including the one to the other team in the MetLife Stadium, because they have a quarterback right now. But I think the money issue, I think all the stuff we're talking about, there is an emotional tie there. I mean, it was a great story last year, Mark, right? The guy coming home, he played for the Jets. You know, he made that famous line that everybody loved, where the freaking New York Jets were built for this expletive. Well, guess what? Doesn't look like it at this point. And that was probably the highlight of his first season. He made that statement. Everyone loved it. But right now, that was the only thing he's won, that press conference.
No, he did. He won the presser. And I was out there. It was great. And, you know, I think you got to ask the question, Alan. You can remember this better than me. He was asked the question, what's going to define Jet football? He said, you'll see it on the field, right? And we really haven't seen it all that much. If I asked you, you know, what's going to define the Jets under the guidance of Aaron Glenn year two? Like, what is going to be the trademarks? What's going to be the traits, the characteristics? What's he going to lean into? What does that look like year two?
Yeah, well, the stuff he keeps talking about, and he opened up a little more this week, talking about the things that have improved and what he wants to be. They want to be a violent, physical run team. You know, they were at the start of the season, but once Garrett Wilson got hurt, everybody loaded the box because they knew Justin Fields wasn't going to throw the ball much, and everything was going to be handed off to Breece Hall. So, I think he wants to be a team that goes back and plays. We don't use this expression anymore, but smash mouth football, right? Run the ball, be violent up front, win in the trenches on both sides of the ball. They haven't done it enough. And they want to be a defense that creates turnovers and limits, long drives. They didn't do that. So those are the things he's got to work on. He's got to get the right players. And it's got to be holding everyone accountable, including himself. And it wasn't until recently where he started saying things like, this is on me, this is on me. But it is on him. There's no doubt about it. It's on him. He put this staff together. There's going to be changes there. The roster, he put part of the roster together, him and Muji, and some of them were the ones they inherited from Saleh. It just has looked nothing like he said it would. But I'm sure that's the way it was in Detroit the first year when they started 0-10-1 and only won three games. And then the next year they started 1-6. And then all of a sudden the Lions went on this run where they finished 9-8. And then they won 12 games the following year. Then they won 15 games last year. That's really what everybody's hanging their head on inside that organization. That's what Woody definitely was hanging his hat on too, that he's been through this, he's seen it change, and he's going to be able to do that for this franchise.
Well, Al, at least they have elite special teams. I got to be honest with you. That's really what I want to hear from the head coach the other day. The special teams has been great. No field goal blocks, all that kind of stuff. It's been great.
Yeah, that again, you're reaching. You're reaching when you have a season like this. But again, that was the first time he started saying, because everything was, we're going to keep it in-house. We're going to keep it in-house. So then he started pointing out things, and he brought up the no field goal blocks. And, of course, that made its way on social media, Twitter, X, whatever we want to call it these days, and it blew up. There's not a lot here to hang your hat on. It was a lost season. So many of them that's been for this organization and this franchise. Maybe next year will be different. I mean, Mark, how many times have you said that in your radio career, TV career? How many times have you said with the Jets, maybe next year will be different. Oh, Rodgers is coming back healthy. Next year will be different.
Great.
You know?
It all ends up the same. What do you think happens
Jack.
Sunday?
I mean, it really is.
It really is. Sunday, how do you think it looks? It can't look as bad as it did against New England, especially if it's Trubisky at quarterback for the Bills.
Yeah, I think, but remember, a couple of years ago, he came in for one play against the Jets for Josh Allen, and he threw a 32-yard pass, and that was it. So you never know. I would think the effort would be better. A lot of these guys, this is their last time. I think obviously the Bills are not going to play their starters or their main guys for the entire game. So maybe in the second half we see, a less talent disparity than we will perhaps at the start of the game. But yeah, it's got to be a better performance than the last couple of games. Does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. But I think, Quincy Williams said it best, this game I want to see pride. And that's what they should be playing for. I know the fans want them to lose. That's a tough spot. You want to see your team play well, but you want them to lose. That's always a tightrope you're walking as a fan, and as an organization. Nobody wants to lose, but they know they got to get the best draft pick possible to fix this mess and start rebuilding again. So next year potentially is different.
Al, listen, it can't get worse, can it? Or maybe it can. I mean, maybe it can, but we'll see. Al, you're the best. I know it's been a long year. Safe travels up to Buffalo. Happy New Year to you and your family. Appreciate the time and love your work with Newsday, all right?
Thanks, Mark. Same to you. Happy New Year.
You got it. Al Ianazone covering the Jets for Newsday, talking to Al a little bit about Aaron Glenn. Obviously, a lost season. It's been lost for a long, long time. We look at gangrene. Coming up straight ahead, Nick Costos will join the program, get his thoughts on the Week 18 NFL Sunday slate. Obviously, college football playoffs as well. Semifinals are set. We'll do that next. It's a Friday midday. Mark Melusis with you right here, The Fan in New York.
Joe in Rockland. Joe, what's up?
How's it going? I'm a big fan of yours, and I love your honesty.
Appreciate it.
that game against New England on Sunday with 2.5 minutes to go, down 35-3, Vrabel has mercy on the Jets and runs two plays. And then he sees that Glenn, like a dummy, calls timeout to try to get the ball back. He's laughing on the sideline. And that's when the whole fight broke out, because he sees that it's a joke. And it's just, unfortunately, I'm a big Jet fan, a Glenn fan also. He's in way over his head.
That's a good point.
I'm a mathematician. I'm a mathematician. I can tell any coach what they do in the last 5 minutes and 20 seconds of a half or a game. I can tell you exactly if they know what they're doing. He has no clue.
Yeah. No, it's interesting you brought that situation, that sequence of events up. So for those that didn't realize what Joe was talking about, as the Patriots are stomping the Jets. I can't put it any other way. It's 35-3 before the halftime. The Pats are running.
Incredible.
They're just running the clock out.
Mm-hmm.
They're just. It's like this half is conceded. The game is over.
The game is over before the half.
Yes, and so he's just trying to run get to the half, man. Go regroup, Aaron Glenn. We'll come back out. We'll play it how it plays. And Aaron Glenn plays it like it's a close game. Like, he calls timeout, like, get a timeout and get the ball back here. Like, it's a close game.
Yeah.
And Mike Vrabel, because, look, Raves is, he's a no BS guy.
Right.
And so, to him, that was a BS move.
Yeah, he's saying, I'm trying to be honorable, not embarrass you.
Yes.
You want to do this? Okay.
Right. Exactly right. So, that's what he's getting at.
Yeah.
And, like, he's not wrong.
No,
you are not competing. I mean, they had so many three and outs in that game. It was unwatchable.
Unwatchable
Jet offensive
and then
football.
The fake punts
and the fake punts.
The fake punts. We just you can't do two like that in that short a period of time.
Right.
Jim in West Harrison. Jim, what's up?
Hey Jim.
Hey guys, I'm caller number 6, and I do not want those Giants tickets. Jeez.
It's the Cowboys, though, Jim.
Jim, you know what? You mock, but I'm just going to say this right now. I was at a last game versus the Dallas Cowboys that meant absolutely nothing in a quarterback's rookie year, and that moment is a moment in a game I'll never forget when Eli Manning handed it off to Tiki Barber to win the game and kind of set forward the Eli Manning era. Just saying.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And how many people would have mocked
on that? Keep that dream alive. Keep that dream alive. Listen. I don't understand why you guys keep on missing this point. Darren is a GM. Darren was picked after Glenn.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why don't you let him make the decision? Everybody's lauding him on the trade he's made and what he's doing and the pick he's made so far in his first year. Why not let him make the decision
on Glenn?
Which coach he wants to put in there?
Yeah, because that doesn't.
I mean, Glenn.
But Jim,
Glenn,
let me ask. The question to Jim and anybody who espouses what he's saying is that. The sequencing doesn't make sense for Darren Mooji to have purview over Aaron Glenn. Do you think Aaron Glenn answers to Darren Mooji? That's the question.
Not really, no.
Exactly.
No.
I can't see that.
I'm not sure who Darren Mooji talks to. I think Darren Mooji goes, or I think Aaron Glenn goes to Mooji and goes, yeah, we can dump these guys, let's get picks. And
yes.
He's GMing by proxy.
Yes. He's basically telling him what to do.
Yeah. Because he sat in that room one time in an interview with Denver and came back to the Jets and said, this is the guy I want to hire as the general manager.
Yes.
Yeah, they're not tied together. Now, the problem, again, is you had Mooji set forth a plan with Glenn with trading the picks, but in the interim, they've been completely baseless and uncompetitive, and the head coach gives you no sign that he could be a head coach, making this entire thing backwards and making this regime immediately desperate to probably trade up for a quarterback this year. And I know we've been hammering this. I meant to bring this up last hour, and I'll say it again. The more you listen to people talk about the draft, and I don't know how much of this is just trying to like force an issue and force talking points. A lot of people are really, Tiki, starting to be hot on the trail of NFL teams are telling these people that Dante Moore's athleticism is going to put him past Mendoza by the time this draft cycle ends.
Interesting.
And if that's the case,
because Mendoza's big. I mean, he's 6'5".
The biggest by far.
Right. He just looks the part.
Mm-hmm. But Moore's athleticism.
Moore's athletic. He's not short. He's 6'3".
No.
A little bit slighter, 210 pounds or so.
But that seems to be, and we're going to see these guys play the next couple days in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
But that seems to be like a hot rising topic. Now, that only matters in terms of, could that be quarterbacks going 1 and 2? Could this be all smoke?
Yeah.
But if that's the case, still, you're talking about the Jets, even if they miss out on Mendoza or if Moore goes one and they love Mendoza, still trading up to that number two spot and allowing these guys desperate enough to make that decision.
Yeah.
And are we sure they're going to love Moore or Mendoza in that spot?
And that's my point. That was my point earlier, is that you got to look at other avenues to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
You have to. The question is, are you going to eat whatever you're still guaranteed to Justin Fields? I think it's only $10 million, but you might have to.
Who was Darren Mooji in the draft room when the Broncos took somebody? Bo Nix?
Yeah.
Bo Nix was not highly sought after and thought of early in the process. What college did Bo Nix go to?
Oregon. There you go.
Start connecting some Mooji dots here with Dante Moore. Kendrick and Sufferd. Kendrick, what's up? Happy New Year, man.
Hey, man. Happy New Year, Kendrick.
Hey, guys. Yeah, Happy New Year to you, too. I got hit with the flu this past week. With what a way to go out.
Oh, yeah.
2025. It's getting a lot of people here, Kendrick.
Yeah, it was going around.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad I was able to get in before the New Year. Wish you guys a Happy New Year. And obviously, I'll be locked in when I can on my breaks in the high school day when you take over the middays.
Of course. Appreciate
it. Of course, man. I wanted to jump in on this Aaron Glenn conversation, bring a few points. You know, I do have to take the L because almost a year ago, to the day, I was advocating for Aaron Glenn, and I brought up Tiki, if you recall, you know, Mike Vrabel in Tennessee and his coordinators and how the coaching staff matters, and that's kind of why I was hesitant. Well, it's funny now to look back at Mike Vrabel doing such a great job in New England with such a great coaching staff around him, because when he was in Tennessee, his offensive coordinators were Shane Bowen. But offensively, he had Todd Downing, who was with the Jets, and then Tim Kelly, who's filling in for the Giants right now.
That's right.
Do you want to talk about Malik Willis escaping those two guys, and now all of a sudden in Green Bay with a good coaching staff? I would absolutely be in for Malik Willis next year with Aaron Glenn, and here's why, guys. You know, he brought in Chris Bangio, who's been great, and I want to ask a question about special teams in a second, but Bangio has been great. He was a huge mistake with Wilkes. Let's be honest. I've been calling in you guys all year, and you know I've never been a fan of his.
No, I mean, he's failed forward so many times. It's unbelievable how he doesn't have success and then gets another job. It doesn't make sense to me.
100%. I couldn't believe the hire, but he's gone. So I'm hoping that, you know, Aaron Glenn can learn from this failure, and an embarrassment of this year, because the one thing that I believe has soured this locker room, and you could see they weren't, you know, competing for the coach this past week, is, you know, from day one, he cut Xavier Gibson, and he came up with this idea that, like, if you're not doing your job, then you're going to get cut.
Yeah.
And he held everyone accountable except himself, you know, and it took forever for Wilkes to be held accountable. So for me as a player, if I'm in that locker room, I'm looking around like, coach, what's going on here? Right. And not to mention, probably 70% of that locker room feels like they're not an Aaron Glenn guy. But to be fair to him, you know, Malachi Moore has looked solid. You know, Breece Hall kind of seems to be here for the long haul, I hope.
Yeah.
And some guys have bought in. So, like, once we turn over the roster, we'll see what it is. But he's on thin ice for me next year. But here's the question I have for special teams, because that unit has been a positive this whole year.
No doubt. And Banjo's young. I mean, he's only 35 years old or something like that.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I laugh back to this because, Sean, this was one of the first epic callers that you had. I think it was Mario, the Cowboys fan, remember?
Yeah,
and you went back and forth with him about how they let go of their kicker, and they brought in Brandon Aubrey.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm not saying pay this guy whatever it takes, but has there ever been a bidding war for a kicker in the NFL? Because if Nick Folk retires, he's been great for us. I cannot see this Jets team next year lose out on their strength. And has there ever been a bidding war for a free agent kicker? Because I would love to bring him in. And I know the Cowboys are tight and strapped for cash.
That's interesting.
I mean, Kendrick,
that's a good question.
Has there ever been a bidding war for a kicker?
There should be. Because we're getting to the point where a guy's like Brandon Aubrey, is not a ton of them, but if you're 55 plus, you're not even thinking about it. Or 55 under.
Well, especially when
55 or under, you're not even thinking about it.
And the touchbacks come back to the 35.
Yeah.
Like, it is so, you're two throws away any point late in the game.
Which is exactly what happened in that first Cowboys game.
Yeah.
And ball comes out to the 34-yard line or whatever. The reason, and Paulson Adebo said this after the game, the reason they were playing such a deep zone, at least this was what Shane Bowen's thinking, was because they knew that the line to get was 50.
Right.
And so It's like we just got to try to keep him in front of the 50, you know, on the negative side of the 50.
You're always in it in a close game if you have a kicker like that. And living the world of not having a kicker for a couple of years, and Jet fans have felt this way too, I can't express how important that is.
Right.
Now, that being said, Tiki, I'm falling in love with this Ben Sauls on the Giants.
He's been fantastic.
Yeah. Now, look, we have
when you get automatic so you don't have to think about it,
yeah,
that's when I really like a dude.
It's been refreshing the last 2 weeks.
100. You're not worried about it.
Yeah. Now, look, since last week he kicked indoors. The week before, though, he was bending it in the wind. Look, of all the things that come out of this Giant December and January, maybe they enter next year with this kid who was a rookie this year and they figure out the kickers.
By the way, do you realize that Chris Banjo, his last year in the league was 2022?
Just a couple years ago.
It's 2025. He's a special teams and a damn good one for the Jets.
And dude, these guys rise
up. 36 years old. And it was quick. Denver Broncos for 2 years, assistant special team coach, and then immediately Jets special teams coach.
There was another coach that just came to mind. I was watching the NFC East Hard Knocks, and I didn't realize that the Cowboys' assistant wide receiver coach is Tyquan Underwood.
Oh, really?
I feel like he only played like 3 years ago. I'm watching him conduct a meeting. I'm like, Tyquan Underwood? Didn't he just, like, I could have sworn I bet a prop on him a couple years ago. Maybe I'm wrong, and he's been out of the league that long.
I'm going to look it up.
Hold on. But that was crazy. I was watching him. Like, Tyquan Underwood is a coach now? When did he retire?
Yeah, I mean... He was born. He's 38 years old. His last game was... No, it was a while.
It was that long ago?
Yeah, it was. I mean, his last game in the NFL was like 2015.
Oh, wow. So it's been 10 years.
Then he went to Montreal or Canada. So he was with Hamilton and then Montreal.
Was he a Rutgers guy too? Is that why he stuck out?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was from Lawrenceville, New Jersey.
All right, perfect.
And went to Rutgers.
Look at me knowing my Scarlet Knights football.
There you go.
You're home for Scarlet Knights football, by the way, WFAN here in New York. All right. There have been a lot of stories we have talked about over the last 2 months in the NFL. Stories that are being written about in terms of what is next for the Giants and Jets.
Yes.
More so, I saw a back page cover today on Newsday on Long Island, getting on the train today. And it had a picture of Joe Burrow with kind of the message of like the Giants and Jets. I think it was Tom Rock that did the piece.
Yep.
Both need to do whatever it takes to get Joe Burrow here. And it clicked with me, Tiki. Before we end 2025 and turn the page to 2026, we know Evan is going to come in here. And the three of us are going to be doing these shows in the new year, in the midday. And we're going to discuss a lot of this. So I want to play a simple game with you. Real or no real?
Okay.
What will actually be worth talking about and what is just fodder because we like to have fun?
Nice.
I'm going to give you a name. I'm going to give you two teams, the Giants or Jets, and you're going to tell me this is a realistic possibility this offseason or it's really not and it's not worth talking about. Okay?
Got it.
Couple names. Here we go. I don't really have imaging. We're flying by the seat of our pants. Jalen Hurts. Real or no real?
Not real.
Not real.
Meaning coming to one of these teams.
Yes.
Most likely the Jets.
Could either of these guys be with the Jets or Giants?
I don't see that. Because, look, Jalen Hurts is having an off year, so to speak, from his unbelievable season last year where they led them to a Super Bowl championship. And I know that people are extraordinarily excited, maybe a little prematurely excited about Tanner McKee.
Yes.
Who is their backup quarterback.
Stanford.
Played at Stanford. Missed the first couple years of his seasons at Stanford because he went on a mission to Portugal. He's Mormon. He's big as hell. 6'6", 250, smart, athletic, perfect ball placement, everything that he does. In fact, if I was a Philadelphia Eagles fan, I'd want him to be... But Tanner McKee to be my quarterback.
They did not listen to trade offers on him in the offseason.
They did not because they think he might be their future. Now, he fell in a draft because he went to Stanford. They were good. He goes on his mission, comes back. They suck.
Yeah.
And so he had he's just an average last season that he put Stanford. But you saw him play last year against the Giants.
Yes, the last week of the year.
And he's just a good developmental prospect. And I think at some point, he will be the Eagles quarterback. It's not next year.
Not next year. So even with the Eagles' offensive woes, if they lose in the wild card round, you think Hurts is back?
Yes. That's it.
Okay. Real or not real? Mike Tomlin is a head coach for one of these teams.
Not real. I think Mike Tomlin wins this weekend against the Baltimore Ravens and once again gets into the postseason. 10 wins. Another, 19 in a row? Non-losing seasons.
Insane.
I think he gets into the postseason, and maybe Aaron Rodgers has some magic. So I'm going to say that's not real.
So Mike Tomlin, not real. Get it out of your heads. All right. Yes. I got three more left for you. Now you set yourself up. You backed yourself in a corner. You said you think Mike Tomlin's winning Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
John Harbaugh, real or not real?
This is real. This is real. We had a caller call who is a Baltimore Ravens fan. I think he's local down there, or at least has connections down there. And the conversations that like we have about guys have run their course. Tom Thibodeau has run his course. Like type of thing. That's what they're having about John Harbaugh now. It's like the same thing that it happens in Pittsburgh. It's starting to happen in Baltimore with John Harbaugh. And so if they miss out and this particularly bad, ugly game against the Steelers this week, I could see the Ravens moving on, which means John Harbaugh, who when he was asked this question 2 weeks ago, basically said, I'm either going to be coaching here or I'm coaching someplace else.
Remember, he's 63 years old. For those of you who do the old, hey, a coach maybe takes a year off, Harbaugh, based on that age, is not really somebody that probably would take it.
No, and he said he wouldn't.
Right. He's a coach through and through. All right. So no on Jalen Hurts Jets fans, no on Tomlin Jets or Giants fans, but Tiki believes the Harbaugh chatter is real.
I do.
I got two more names for you.
Go ahead.
Real or not real? And I think both would pertain more to the Jets than the Giants. You mentioned Harbaugh. Lamar Jackson.
It should be, but it won't be.
Okay. Now, the reason I'm going to lean real here, you hear Harbaugh speak yesterday. If Lamar Jackson does not play in this winning in game versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, this will be like the second time in 4 years he missed the game at the end with the winning in where the Ravens got extremely frustrated. Yeah. And you know, Tiki, you
talked about... And it's a back. It's not like he's got like a knee injury or something.
No, that's about an ACL. It's a back injury. Yes. And you've talked about the toughness of players. That's going to sour a lot of people.
But I don't... It's weird because a couple years ago, I could see why. He's not going to play through injury because he hasn't signed a contract.
Right. That's true. That was what that was.
He was
right.
Waiting for a contract. Now... Cool. Now he got paid. And so I think he plays in this game. I just don't know how well he's going to play because he hasn't been very good this year.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't. And that was something when we pressed Evan on it a few weeks ago about why he wouldn't be interested in Lamar. He brought up the injuries and his throwing of the football. But, okay, so you're going to call it not real, but it should be.
Yes.
Okay. Now, last but not least, because of Newsday today, Joe Burrow. If they remember, he had those comments a couple weeks ago where it sounded very weird about the love of football and all this other stuff.
And he said it was about other stuff and other things going on. It wasn't necessarily about hating Cincinnati and wanting to leave and tired of Zach Taylor and all those other things. He said it was other things, but you said what you said and we heard it.
So is it real or not real?
I think this is real.
Okay, so we got two and three. So Joe Burrow real. Now.
But I think this feels like a trade thing.
Who's got assets?
The Jets. And so one of the things we keep talking about is what does this draft look like? Everybody's focused on Fernando Mendoza or Dante Moore, both of whom could stay or whatever, just not be really those guys. But you have to explore the other avenues. And if Joe Burrow is disgruntled, now we have a little tiny inkling of it. It's not real, but there's a little tiny inkling of it. If he's disgruntled, you absolutely have to approach them and say, we'll give you two first-round picks. We'll give you something, whatever it is you need. If Joe Burrow could become a Jet quarterback, you don't even think twice about it.
All right. Now, Harbaugh you called real, Burrow we called real. I'm going to get into dreamland for you here, okay? In the dream scenario where by the draft, John Harbaugh is the Giants head coach and Joe Burrow is the Jets quarterback. Let's just walk with me to heaven.
The Jets don't have as many assets anymore because they have now traded whatever picks. They have five in the next first round picks in the next 2 years. Some of those are gone.
Okay, obviously.
Two or maybe three.
Are one, both, or neither playing in the postseason next year? A Burrow-led Jet team and a John Harbaugh, Jackson Dart Giant team.
They would have to get so much better.
I know they would, but you're talking about big changes at quarterback and coach.
I'm going to say one.
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 Now, are you going to make me press you and ask you which one?
It'd be the Giants.
Okay, you think the Giants would Harbaugh and Dart
I think the Giants with
year.
A quarterback, and if he keeps growing and he keeps feeling good, scats back, run game is good, Tyrone Tracy, offensive line gets settled. Defense gets a defensive coordinator who knows how to design unblocked pressures as opposed to the nonsense that we saw for 16 weeks this year. I think this Giant team, and they have Brian Burns and Abdul Carter and Kayvon Thibodeau healthy, Dexter Lawrence maybe remotivated and in shape. I feel like this Giants team could be pretty good, especially if you draft a corner or an impact defensive player.
How about a linebacker that could tackle?
Right, something like that. I think the Giants have the potential. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but they have the potential to be one of those, we sucked and now we're pretty good.
Well, thank you. You know who else was bald? The host of Deal or No Deal, Howie Mandel. We're both bald, so this was real or not real. Our first edition. So when Evan returns and he brings up Mike Tomlin, we tell him, nope, we've already played that game, not real. Jalen Hurts, nope, we already played that game. But Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, I'm sorry, Harbaugh and Burrow, worth the conversation.
Burrow is definitely worth the conversation.
That
one needs to be explored.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Joe freaking Burrow.
I know. If he's really unhappy and wants to get out, all day. I'm calling every day of the offseason if I'm the Jets.
You know what would really suck? If the Burrow deal happens to another team with two first-round picks, the Rams.
Oh, God.
Do they need that? How unfair
by the way,
would that be?
That's something the Rams would do.
Yep. Of course they would. They already worked for them one time.
Yeah.
Oh, that would bother
me. Who is it? Snead? Still Les Snead?
It's got to be, right? I don't think Les Snead left, did he?
He shouldn't have.
No.
I mean, he definitely didn't get fired.
No, but that would be him stepping away on his own.
Yeah, it is still him. Les Snead.
I think I just cracked it, by the way. He's dead. Burrow's definitely going to be a Ram, isn't he?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.